The recording just started.
Should I do the roll call for you, Ray?
Yes, thank you very much, Glenn. Let's start the meeting, and if you can please do the roll of who is on the call.
Thank you. We have Eric Brunner-Williams, Ron Andrews, DC Constituency, Tony Holmes, ISP, Ray Fassett, Registry Constituency, Rolf Ulrich Knoben, ISP, and for staff we have Julie Headland and myself, Glenn Essentially.
Okay, very good. I appreciate everybody's attendance today. This is Ray Fassett. We're just beginning our meeting. Today's April 23rd. I sent a brief email this morning to the team. Hopefully you've had a chance to read it. Sorry I came out a little late. But it was pretty straightforward, and I'll summarize it for you. I thought, and this is, of course, open to discussion, I thought we could spend time today reviewing the action items from last week's call, which had to do with Ron's, and the more I read Ron's document, the more I'm impressed with it, his approach. I thought it was a very brave approach, and I like it. And then we asked Julie to prepare a, sort of a summary of that document for the purposes of sending out to the, you know, to broader constituency level on the one hand, but then I think Wolf made a very good point that, you know, let's be sure we follow our protocol to also bring the OSC into the loop for their thoughts. So there's probably a brief question for us to say, okay, should we go to the OSC first and ask their opinion before going out to the other constituencies? And then that assumes that we're comfortable with the document that has been summarized up to now. And then we should come up with a name for this document as well, so we don't, sometimes semantics can cause confusion. So let's think about that as well. So where would we like to start on this this document? Anybody have any thoughts?
Ray, can we start by discussing the document? I don't think we've had a detailed discussion.
Good.
Or if we have, I've missed it.
Good. No, that's a great suggestion. Please go ahead.
Okay. I did send some questions to Ron in an email, but it would probably be helpful if Ron clarified a couple of comments or a couple of questions. And for me, they are, when we look at splitting this role, are you proposing that these functions, and you split it into two functions as I understand it, Ron, that they are undertaken by people on council or undertaken by the working groups? Where do they actually fit?
Tony, Ron Andrew speaking. That answer is in the draft that was put forward, was that we will have, under the GNSO title, we will have two bodies responsible for distinct activities. So the council, policy council, two representatives from each constituency forming the total number that we all know. And then we would have a second group, which we'll call our administrative representatives. And the suggestion was that we would have two from each constituency as well, bringing together a body of maybe a dozen or so individuals. So it's two separate groups. Those two, if you want to call them houses, encapsulate the GNSO as a full body.
Okay, that's what I thought you were proposing, and that's where this gets rather cloudy for me, because if you look, even within our charter, it mentions that the council is moving from a legislative body to a strategic manager overseeing policy development. But both of these functions, to my mind, are what was proposed by the BGC as a slimmed down council. Both of those functions sit there, and I don't think you're disputing that. But what we're doing, we're moving from a situation where currently not only is council the strategic manager in the way that is foreseen going ahead, but it also basically runs all of the working groups and undertakes most or a lot of the work in those groups as well. Currently, it's all done within council, and the thrust of the BGC, and certainly also from the consensus team, was to work on the basis that we slim down council, we get it down from 3 members per constituency to 2. Because of that, what you're actually proposing is slimming down the work, pushing it out to working groups, and increasing the resource instead of reducing it. We go, instead of from 3 to 2, we go to from 3 to 4. And for me, it just doesn't stack up with the approach that was set out by the BGC.
Well, in response to that, it's not that what we've done here is, as you said, reduced from 3 to 2. So we actually have reduced the policy council in terms of a role of managing the working groups. That's what policy council does. I'm referring now to fleshing out the other side of the GNSO, the side that deals with new horizon issues that are coming up, things that are out there on the horizon that we start to address now in terms of gathering information on, in terms of outreach, making sure that we've got outreach to expand the ranks of the ISPs, the BCs, the IP constituency, within the commercial stakeholders groups, just seeing it from that point of view, but also you're going to see an expanded ranks within the registry side of the house. You're going to see a lot of those activities going on. So we need to have outreach that's dealing with those kinds of things and expanding those things and thinking about those things. We need to have other bodies that are responsible for other activities, whether they be just the face-to-face meetings, how we make those more effective when we show up 3 times a year, and how we can really do more quality work with less time. So all those kinds of issues, what we're talking about now is just building a group of people that can deal with those things. This is, has nothing to do with policy, has nothing to do with managing the working teams. So in line with the BGC, we are reducing the size of the policy council, but what we're doing now is looking at the other side of it in terms of all of these other elements I've just mentioned. We have to have human beings focused and devoted to those things and those things alone. So I don't care how big that group is, but I would think that 2 makes it easier, because if I can't make it, you know, you're my colleague, you can show up on that day. It just lightens the burden for one individual by sharing it over 2. So that's the rationale behind this, is really to make sure we can start to do those other elements besides just looking at policy. There's a whole lot of things that have to be addressed within the GNSO that aren't being addressed today. So it's not expanding the council, it's shrinking the council and developing another body focused solely on administrative tasks.
Okay.
So, however big that is, that's the recommendation of the policy. That would be perhaps GNSO or perhaps our recommendation. I'm not sure which, but that's how I see it.
Yeah, I think we got a good discussion here. Let me go ahead and take a cue. This is Ray. Is there anybody else that would like to get in?
Yes, I'd like to respond on that, please, Ray.
Okay, Wolf, anybody else?
Yes, Wolf speaking as hell.
Was that Tony? I'm sorry.
Yes, Tony, it was Tony.
Tony, please, and then Wolf, and then I'm also going to put myself in the queue. Okay, Tony, please.
Okay, I think some of this then comes down to clarification, because certainly some of the things that Ron mentioned, I think, do fall under the remit and do need to be looked at by this group in the manner that Ron set out. But I think the understanding is different. To me, the paper, as it is, it doesn't make clear which parts are being covered by council and which parts aren't. So maybe that's just my reading of that. I thought there was some confusion there. But the other part that confuses me is that we talk about overseeing coordination and management. And clearly, coordination and management of the working groups and their activities has to stay with council. In fact, if you take that away from council, I would argue that they've got very little to do, almost nothing.
Yeah, I'm sorry, Doug, can you repeat that? If you take what away from council?
If you take away the coordination and management or of the process, then I think under the new scheme and the way it was set out by the BGC, that was basically what their role was. They actually, if you look back at the BCG documents, they almost use those same words, that it's for coordination and management and little else. The work occurs in the working group.
Okay.
Some of the things that Ron referred to, I think, fall outside of coordination and management, and certainly that puts a different flavor on this, and for me makes it a lot more acceptable. But to put it, to put another group in place that is looking at coordination management, which I think is what council is for, primarily for in the new one, it's where the conflict for me comes in the current approach. So maybe it's the terminology thing as much as anything. And I would suggest one of the things that we should do before we progress much further on this is have a bulleted list of what we think these different groups will actually do, because there's a fair amount of confusion on that currently.
Very good. Wolf.
Yes, thank you. Well, I have also still my problems, as let me say, with some wordings in the text. I mean, which confuses me as well. So that's where my problems come from. My misunderstandings also. One is right now. So I understand one right now. You, as soon as you are referring to the GNSO. At the entire GNSO, and under this GNSO there should be a new structure. But in the text as well, there is described, for example, in the description, the GNSO operations working proposes that a new entity should be created within the GNSO council. So on the one hand, so at first we are referring to the GNSO to establish a new structure in the GNSO, and then within the GNSO council. So it's not that clear to me. So what is to which part you are really referring? Right now, from your words right now, I have understood that you think, okay, the GNSO council should stay as it is, but the administrative work should be drawn from it. From the council, and should be allocated to a separate group, which maybe, that's my understanding, not a council group, but it's a kind of working group or subgroup or what else. So that was not that really clear to me, and it's not really clear in the text.
Chair, this is Ron. If I could respond, that's a typo. That's an error. It should be that sentence should read, the GNSO operations work team proposes that a new entity should be created within the GNSO.
Okay.
To take responsibility for the separate and unrelated set of functions.
So
that's an error, and I'm sorry, I didn't catch that.
So right now, that means, so the understanding I have right now is also that you think, okay, the council shall stay as it is, but the function of the council, there shall be a part of the function, which is administratively or strategically or what else is related, should be drawn from the council and should be allocated to the other group, which is maybe a working team under the council or what else. Okay, that's a separate step to talk about.
Can you add me to the queue on that point, Ray?
Is this Tony?
Yes.
Yes, please go ahead, Tony.
Okay. Now, if Wolf Ulrich is correct, that the proposal is that we have a sub-team of councillors, I think it becomes easier to understand. And the point I was making, that the coordination and management has to be done by council. If the proposal is that it's a sub-team of council that does that rather than all of council, then I understand it in a different way. But that I wasn't of the view that that's where this was going. I thought what was being proposed was a separate group which would be comprised of people in addition to councillors, because that's where you get the 2+2. So for me, that's the key point. Maybe Ron could clarify that.
That you got it right, Tony. That's how I see it. Again, it comes back to the division of two separate groups. Administrators are great administrators. They're not necessarily wonderful policy officers. And policy people are very focused on drafting good policy and may not be good administrators. So this is not a subset or a working group of council. Councillors are busy. They need to focus on policy and policy management with the working groups. We will have lots of working groups doing lots of things. This is one of the concerns that I understand from people, and it's a valid concern, that there may not be enough bodies to man all the barricades.
But the reality is that we have to have a policy council that is very focused on developing and managing and streamlining the policy development process with working groups, and then doing outreach within their constituencies to build those working groups and getting the right people on those working groups and managing that. It's a second group of people that mirrors the first group that's responsible for administration.
But if I may come back on that, just to come back, even when you were explaining the role of council, you use the words coordination and management, and that's exactly what council should do. So
Tony, only policy, not council. Let me put it this way: how much time as a councillor did you spend? I shouldn't be so personal. How much time would a constituency spend on actual outreach versus policy? I would venture to guess 2% of their time, maybe 5% of their time, was looking at anything other than policy, because the amount of policy work that you're doing as a policy officer is inordinate.
Well, we're back to terminology here, Ron, because coordination and management, we spent one hell of a lot of time in council on that. And the primary role of the council now is on coordination and management. As soon as you start talking about things like outreach, then I agree with you. I think that probably doesn't need to fall under council, and a separate group would be useful. But every time you use this word, coordination and management, that's exactly the role that council has in the new structure. And it's this terminology that's causing me the problem, which is why I think it would be worth trying to produce a bulleted list of exactly what these two different entities would do. And then I think we, whatever we call them, at least we'll have a common understanding.
I agree with the principle, and I think that's exactly the way we should go forward. But I want to be clear when we say coordination and management of what? Because it's always going to be coordination and management, depending in both regards, whether it's administration or whether it's policy. It's coordination and management of policy development or coordination and management of administrative activities. Now, however the list gets divided up, who does what, that's less relevant to me. What's more relevant is keeping policy officers focused on policy development while administrative officers make sure we expand the ranks of our organization on the whole, as a whole, as one element of the things that they undertake.
But maybe if we look at what they did, Ron, in terms of a detailed list, we would be able to seize on the right terminology from that.
Yeah, let me help out here. This is Ray, and much of what's being discussed are really a lot of things I have in my head. I think the beauty of what Ron has put forward is it has us focused on the concept of separation of duties, which then leads us to this concept of role definition, where, you know, we're now to the point of, and which I agree, of now actually coming up with what are the tasks. Well, you know, what are the tasks that fall under this concept of coordinating policy management versus the tasks of those, and then of course matching skill sets to those tasks of administrative duties. And I think that's a worthwhile exercise. As I read Ron's original document, I'm reading about how he envisioned the policy council and was describing this policy council, and I was saying to myself as I was reading, well, that's what I envisioned the GNSO council to be. Okay, and then I got into all of these administrative things that was being brought out in that document towards the idea of separation of duties, and I'm thinking, yeah, boy, there's a lot of stuff here that could be interpreted or could be looked at as these are things that just distract from the overall goal of keeping the focus of the GNSO council on policy. So my where I'm going with this is I think we're all relatively in agreement that Ron's description of the policy council is good. I think we're there. It's the concept of the other creation of these other subcommittees or work teams or whatever we want to call them within the council that we're struggling with. Is that fair?
No, Ray, I'm sorry to say that so strongly. This is where most people, and I myself was one of them, we understand when we hear GNSO, that equates to policy council, but that's not the case. The generic name supporting organization is supporting the ICANN process on all fronts. One front is policy development, of which the policy council is responsible. The other activities that fall under the GNSO banner that are getting short shrift or are not getting addressed at all, it's establishing a group that addresses that. They are not under policy council. There's the policy council, and then standing right beside the policy council is what we'll call the administration group.
Okay.
And then on top of that, and this maybe will help kind of shape this a little bit, on top of that is an executive committee. Who is the chair of that executive committee? By vote of all GNSO members is the chair of that committee. Then we have a chair of the policy council. Then
right.
we have that sits underneath the chair of the GNSO. Then we have the chair of the administration group that sits right beside the chair of the policy
right.
council.
Right, I'm understanding.
No, but this group then can work together to try to come forward with recommendations if necessary as to who does what. But when it starts, when we start to, you know, when the XCOM sits down together and discusses where are we at, the chair of the administration side will say, well, we've got all these things, and oh, by the way, it's been raised that there's this horizon issue out there. How are we going to deal with that? The chair of policy might say, well, you know, that's something that falls in policy. We'll develop a committee internally within the policy officers, policy council, to address this horizon issue, to gather information, to disseminate to the community, the larger community, so we can give thought to what this thing coming down the road looks like, so we can start to address it before it's on us like a bad rash and we can't get rid of it.
Right. I'm hearing your view, and I'm good with it. I mean, you're identifying that there is to be this policy council, and then working alongside them are these other two groups, and there are to work in unison, work collegially, and all that. I understand that. What I'm saying here as a group amongst ourselves here in this work team, I think what I'm hearing is that we agree on how you're describing the existence and purpose of this policy council. We're not there yet on these other two groups. Without some further understanding of what these tasks or role definition would be, and I think I'm hearing that from Tony and maybe even a little bit from Wolf. Is that an accurate portrayal?
Right. If I could just ask a question on that. When Ron explained that this time, I started to draw a sketch, and these things are always difficult
yes.
when you're not together. But I heard Ron mention an executive committee. And then, if I understood it right, the policy group and the admin group on two levels below that. Now, at the moment, all we have under the recommendation is the election of a number of people to the council. It's not even on a constituency basis, particularly. It may be to start with, but that could change depending on the number of new constituencies. But we will have a council that's elected. And if I understood Ron right, there now sits above that an executive committee, and I didn't understand who would be on that or how it would relate to council. And if I understood Ron right, we have a box at the top that says executive committee, and we have two subcommittees below that, one dealing with policy development, and I think that Ron equated that currently to the council. And then this other body sitting alongside it that is admin. So already, all I've got is a box that says GNSO Council Policy Development with two people elected to under the current structure that's been set out. There's no executive committee and there's no admin. So as soon as you look to do that, you're actually increasing the overheads on the constituency because you need to get people in at the executive level and at the admin level. Now, have I understood that right? Maybe you could come back on that, Ron.
No, that's a good question. That actually came up on email, too. We were battering that idea around. So maybe, Ron, you could address that one. You're back on the spot here.
Sure.
Is that the hierarchy that you're seeing?
Yeah, I think Tony, I'll just restate it again so we're all clear. So, yes, we have a box at the top that says, in that box, it says GNSO. Okay. Now, coming down below that, you will see another box that will say chairman, chairperson, GNSO. Below that box, you'll see on the left-hand side, chair, policy council, and then policy council, also in that same box. And then on the right-hand side, on the same level, below the executive, the chairman of the executive committee, you will see the chairman of the administration group. So what you have here is the only difference we have, Tony, is we've added one individual that will be coordinating, that will be voted by all of the GNSO to be the chair of this body, just as a coordination function. So we have someone that's basically that there's a last stop there, that someone is dealing with all of these issues at some level, at a pinnacle. And below that, you'll have two, one chair of the policy council and one chair of the administration side. So all we've done now is added two people, a chair of the GNSO, which we've never had before, and a chair of the administration group.
You've added two people, Ron, but beneath those people has to be the councillors to facilitate them. So you're not adding
councillors,
two people.
Officers. Councillors we're going to reserve for policy councillors.
Yes.
And officers, administration officers. Now, they may be one person or two people. I'm recommending two just to lighten the load on one. But those individuals, which let's say that, you know, becomes a group of 12, those individuals are tasked with what was noted in the document that Julie circulated, and it says, include but not limited to outreach, supporting a program planning function in support of ICANN face-to-face meetings, guidance on website enhancements of the GNSO web pages, general policies that are cross-cutting across the SO. Policies, and not policies as in policy council development policies, but just issues that will affect our SO on the whole. New constituencies coming in, how do we deal with that? Someone needs to take that one and lead that discussion. It's not the policy officers, because the policy officers are guiding the work team, the working groups. So that's what this body does. So it's this kind of idea, travel reimbursement. That should not be the discussion of the policy councillors. They should vote on it, how it goes down, but the discussion should be within the larger body of the GNSO. Let the members determine how that money should be used, not the ones who actually are getting the money now to travel. You see, to have the very people voting, making a vote on how they're going to spend the travel reimbursement when that money goes to them doesn't make any sense at all. There's no transparency in that. Let the community decide. If there's X amount of dollars, so much will go to our policy officers to travel, so much will go to our administration officers to travel, so much will go to this one because of a working group or team he needs to meet face-to-face. If these are things that aren't being covered by, or if they're being covered by ICANN particularly, but if they're not being covered, these are things that need to be addressed within the community, and that's what this body does. So, yes, there's a few more people, and yes, there's a new head of the GNSO, but that's a titular head to coordinate functions.
Okay, I have a suggestion for the group. Would it enhance the document to add in this sort of flow chart org chart to the document for people to visually see what's being textually described?
Yes.
Okay.
Sure.
Let's, Ron, you're the impetus here, but I think you can work with Julie on that one.
Happy to.
Okay. And
just a comment, Ray.
Yes,
I think we have that structure now almost, but it's just at a different level. Because, for instance, Ron drew out the travel issue as something that could go under this new group, call it for now admin or whatever you want to. But it wasn't the council that was working on travel issues, Ron. What council did, we set up a working group. It was comprised of councillors, but it was basically a subgroup of the GNSO, and that's how we did the travel today. And
the guys who are spending the money should not be the guys making the decision on how the money's spent.
Yes, no, I understand now, but I think it's clearer to me now, because what you've done, you've elevated this group, and I think this may be the contentious thing for some people, you've elevated this admin group to the same level as council. I'm not so sure that is appropriate, and the reason I say that is because you mentioned that and you gave quite a good example with travel, I think, that the council shouldn't be doing the work, and I think that's a justifiable comment, but they should vote on it. Now, if that's the case, this other group, you could actually say this admin group takes the form of a working group below council, but it actually does exactly the same roles that you were setting out for it to do.
What purpose does that serve? Why are you concerned about these two bodies standing on equal ground? Because neither one impacts the other one per se.
Well, the reason I say that is because I think for some parts of the community, getting this acceptable to them, that would be far more acceptable than creating a new body. The reason is that the council itself is going to be quite a contentious issue as the number of constituencies grow. I think there are a lot of problems around that. But the functions that you set out, I clearly agree with you. I think there's a need for them to work in the right way. And the job needs to be done. Elevating that to the same level as council, where you're actually going to have bylaws set in place to elect people to that group, whereas if it was a working group, it could just be done under the auspices of council in the same way that there'll be many, many other working groups. It's a lot easier to actually realise that concept.
Tony, with all due respect, this is not a working group. This is a fully functioning, it's like we've got two halves of our brain, a left side and a right side. Right now we're operating with one half of our brain with the GNSO. I'm saying fully flesh out the other half. So now we have a fully functioning brain that manages all aspects of GNSO. It's not a working group. Under no conditions is this a working group. And policy councillors have no authority whatsoever except that vested in them from their constituents. So they're not kings or queens by any stretch of the imagination. They are worker bees that are sent off to do the task of the constituency, at the request of the constituency, to speak on behalf of the constituency, but not to take decisions unilaterally without consulting the constituency. So what's the difference between that and an administrative person that goes out and says, we're going to set up this kind of idea, we're going to do this big outreach program, this is how it's going to function? They have to come back to the constituency and get approval for that. But they're exactly the same kind of individual, only one's focused on administration instead of policy. There's no reason whatsoever to make this a subgroup of policy council. Policy does not trump administration. You need both halves to make this thing work. It's a fully functioning object. Two sides of a ball, that way it can spin around, it can roll. But if you have one side of a ball, it moves nowhere. It just stays static. The comment that you made, actually, was very interesting. You said that you feel that there's going to be a lot of issues around new constituencies coming up and who actually sits on council representing the full body. I agree. There's going to be a lot of contention in that area. But why should the contention in that area affect any of the outreach programs, face-to-face meetings, website development? Why should that affect that? It shouldn't. We should have a body focused individually and completely on that other stuff, so the trains run on time while the contentious issues may have to get dealt with.
Okay, this is a really helpful conversation. I think I'm gradually getting there. But this admin body, how would you consider... Well, let me ask you two questions, and you may not have the answers to these, but you must have an idea. How big would this body be? How many people, and how would you see that being pulled together?
Well, we could add them up from the point of view that within the CSG we have three constituencies, so we could say two from each one. Within the non-commercial group, we have two constituencies as is today, so we could say two from each one, so that's now we're at 10 people. We can say the registries, two, registrars, two, that puts us at 14. That's just a recommendation. That's not hard and fast, it's just a recommendation. Maybe we come back and say, you know what, one is enough from each one with an alternate that we can pull on from time to time, so that brings us to a body of seven. But the point is that a body of seven probably doesn't function as well as a body of 14 in terms of bringing group mind to dealing with issues such as outreach, such as, you know, website development, et cetera, all of these issues. The more people you can have on a conversation, the more valuable that conversation is going to be. I complained on last week's call that the number of us who get on this call to have a conversation about what the future operating aspects of the GNSO were going to be was dismally low, and that those who had committed, we need to get them on or find others, if they're not going to get on the call, find others to represent them, because we need more people to have this conversation with, so at least we're not talking to ourselves in a vacuum.
Right. Hey, Ron, let me ask a question, if you don't mind. This is Ray. The idea of having representation from each constituency into this administrative part of it is for balance? Is so that there's, you know, equal representation, if you will? Is that the idea of it?
One side is equal representation. The other side of that thinking is just to say that if you can have a few more people involved, so if I go on vacation for the next 10 days, all of a sudden, you know, the representation of the BC is no longer there for some major important major discussion, I'd like to have, you know, someone else from my constituency support, you know, involved in that conversation.
Funny, can I ask, is it a reasonable notion to say that because it's really mostly administrative, that a single person could go to the constituencies as needed, on an as needed basis, to handle an administrative issue that comes up?
I'm not going to debate that one way or the other, Ray. I mean, it could be two, it could be one, it could be three. It's really a question of what we're supposed to come up with some high-level operating principles. So our high-level operating principle is split the board, split the GNSO into two appropriate bodies and staff those appropriately.
Well,
Stick with me.
No, wait, Ron. It's not so much splitting.
I'm splitting
the duties.
Yes, exactly. But all I'm trying to say in simple terms is that our job is to sort of come up and say, we suggest you should split the duties. Now, in terms of voting and making a decision how many of those should be, I'm not sure that's our decision. But what I am suggesting is that two would be better than one, just because it would share the load. If I have someone else who can pick up this call this week and I'll pick up the call next week, it makes it easier.
Well, I'm talking about one person in total.
I understand, but it's impossible. One person in total. That's nuts.
But on an as-needed basis, follow me, on an as-needed basis, this one person would then go to the constituencies.
You're saying one individual is responsible for all these activities, right?
The problem I have is along those lines, Ron, and that is, Tony, that is, as chair of one of the constituencies, one of the problems we have is that the working groups are going to be increasingly important. And I think that's right. That's where the focus of the effort has to be. So what you need to do is to ensure that you have people representing your constituency who've got the right skills, who are really going to engage in those important debates in the working groups to represent your part of the community. If we go down the path you're advocating, already now we have to put two people maybe up for council, two people forward for the administrative group. We're already up to four. We haven't even looked at any of the groups who are doing any of the work. And I know what's going to happen. People will be saying, well, I actually want to participate in ICANN and I'll take an active role, but I have a day job and I'm already on the admin council, so I can't engage in the working group. And the way I think that the focus of the board governance committee were going was to say, let's slim down the council and we can have less councillors involved. They can look at the policy work. They can also undertake the administrative role for managing policy. But the rest of you can engage in the important stuff that's being done at the working group level. We're now at the stage where we're doubling that resource, and I find that a real concern.
That's not mutually exclusive, Tony. There's no, you know, it's, let's, we have no,
no
idea.
I know,
no one has any
idea. All the time. It isn't mutually exclusive at all.
No, but nobody has any idea what the future of GSO is going to look like vis-a-vis the workload. We all assume that with new GTLDs coming on, there's going to be more work groups having to be manned and so forth. My recommendation was that the policy officers are, the policy counselors are not only overseeing those work groups in terms of scoping, the really getting sharply worded and clearly focused scoping on those things, but it will also be doing outreach to man those working groups and so forth. It'll be looking for the right partners. Every working group is not going to use the same people. It's going to use different people with different expertise, and those people will bring their minds and hearts to these discussions and hopefully, you know, bring this resolution. So I may well be an officer of a constituency responsible for administration aspects. But there are two of us, as I mentioned before, so therefore I can spend some time focused on one of the work groups I'm on. You know, I think we're getting a little bit too tied up here with the number of people. If we cannot, as I can, and the GNSO, field 12 people to work on administrative things and these things that we've been discussing, then that's a sad state of affairs.
I think a bullet list of what these administrative affairs would be might help.
Well, we have a list right now. It's just all we're going to do is bring that list into a bullet and flesh it out, and I think that's a good idea. But if you look under what Julius presented vis-a-vis policy counselors and constituency representatives, it gives four or five different things that these individuals will do. And I think we can continue to expand the list. But and that will perhaps help people understand. But this, both policy and administration are going to grow.
Mm-hmm.
There's no question. If we're 21 GTLDs today and we become 200 GTLDs within a few years, I can tell you we will have more workloads. There's no question about it. Therefore, how do we do it? How do we devise something that makes sense and not get crazy about 12 people here or 10 people there?
I agree with you, Ron. No one's disagreeing. You're making very good points. I think, though, just understanding what I'm hearing is procedurally, and trying to grasp an intangible, because this is all new, trying to grasp something that's intangible, and then put kind of tangible procedures. It seems to me that the issue that you've, I think, identified well is that something comes up, and then it becomes, okay, is this a policy council duty?
Right.
Or is this an administrative duty?
Right.
There needs to be a threshold decision made,
right.
And then it gets put into the right bucket.
Right.
And then it flows through the process.
Exactly. And the XCOM's job is that. That's what the XCOM does, because you've got the leadership there. You've got the head of policy, the head of administration, somebody to run that meeting. You've got the treasurer there who says, yeah, we can afford it. No, we can't. Or we've got to get money from ICANN.
Right, but I think what you're hearing, and what I'm hearing anyway, is do we really need to set up this other group, subgroup, not the executive committee you're calling, forget that for a minute, but this administrative group, do we really need to man that with 12 people? Or can we take, when an issue comes over into the administrative side, there is a person highly skilled at this sort of thing that then follows a process.
Who is that person? Who is that person? Where'd they come from?
I have ideas on that. Okay. Yeah, please go ahead. I'll be quiet. Please, go ahead.
I'm sorry, it's Wolf. So, you know, I told you I have a hard cut.
Yes, you did, Tony. You mentioned, Wolf, you mentioned it, yes.
Some ideas. But I would really appreciate if you get an additional chart. That's the one thing, you know, to see it. The other thing is, so looking to the bylaws, the GNSO, not only the GNSO Council, GNSO is supposed, well, to be a body which is related to policy, to policy development. That is the body. That is the description of the GNSO.
Right.
So that should be the main thing in the future as well. And I fear if we balance, you know, on the same level, the administrative things and the policy development things, that still generate misunderstandings. That's my fear. I understand the GNSO as doing the policy development mainly. All other administrative things which are necessary to do, these are kind of, from my point of view, kind of services to the GNSO, which are necessary to be done, but they are not, let me say, major or things of the same priority as policy development is. And under this understanding, so I would look to the paper and look to this future organization. I'm sorry to say that in that way, but maybe I have still misunderstanding with the paper. Sorry, I have to leave right now. I will also put my ideas in wording and writing and send it to you and hope we have a further discussion about that. Yeah?
Very sound contributions, Wolf. Thank you for coming on today.
Thank you. And see you then. Bye-bye.
If I may just pick up on Wolf's comment, his concern that a new administrative body sitting beside the policy council would create issues. I don't know who it creates issues for. This was the reason I wanted to bring this, suggested originally this should be kited, sent up as a kite to our constituencies, not as a recommendation, just put this up and say, who likes it, who doesn't like it? See which way the wind blows that kite. And then we follow that direction. This whole document was a document to start this dialogue, not to finalize the dialogue, but to start a dialogue, to get this out to the constituents, that they come back to us and say, we really hate this idea. Stupid, we don't want it, get back to what you should be doing. Fine, thank you. With that, at least we've got direction. And now we'll take that direction and we'll follow that. So this was the critical aspect. Wolf just said, how can we develop policy council is supposed to develop policy. That's true, but you cannot develop policy unless you've got an administrative base that is, one, expanding your ranks, bringing in new blood as older blood passes out and moves on to other things and leaves ICANN. Two, that we've got a policy council that is fully functioning on policy only. And three, that we've got the administrative aspects that are the nagging nabobs that keep pulling people away from the focus on council or policy development, getting those developed with somebody else. You cannot have a body that's responsible for administration reporting to council. For what purpose is that?
Well, here's where we're at, though. I think we agree completely. I think as a team here, on your notion of a policy council and what it's for and what its purpose is, we also agree that there is a separation here between what is policy and what is more administrative that takes away from policy. What we're pushing back a little bit on, or a little afraid to go outward, if you will, to others, because I think what I'm sensing is it's going to really not go over well, is the concept of manning this administrative area with a bunch of people, which may appear like a new layer, a new bureaucracy, or even perhaps may even be interpreted as moving away from what the BGC intended the GNSO Council to be doing. It could be interpreted that way as well, as an expansion from just staying home with policy. And now here you guys are suggesting this whole new group. Oh, my God, what are you doing? You know, so I think that's what...
Ray, first of all, the BGC is not God. It's a body that was paid to come back with recommendations.
I'm just coming up with examples of bullets that could be fired at us.
I understand, but right. They are not God, number one. They came back to, they were hired to come with recommendations, and we as the body are now working with those recommendations to build a better GNSO, number
right.
one.
Please, go ahead.
It's only to say that my blood boils when I hear things like, we don't want to put something out that's not going to be well received. We don't know if this is going to be received good, bad, or indifferent. This is a kite. This is not a recommendation to anyone. This is, ladies and gentlemen, of our constituencies. We are debating amongst four or five of us for several weeks now about this issue. We've kind of got to a place where we think that we're not sure if this is good or bad, but why don't you tell us?
Mm-hmm.
This is the point.
Mm-hmm.
Let's get feedback. Why we debate about it amongst ourselves, it's important we do, but for us to go on another call in 2 weeks and debate more about this is ludicrous. Let's get it out. I don't care which way you guys want to write it.
Mm-hmm.
Get it to constituency members. Let them give us a sense of it. Get a copy to the OSC for a courtesy. You know, they're part of the community. We're just sending this out to get some guidance.
Mm-hmm.
So FYI, here it comes. This is not a document sent up to OSC for their review, approval. It's got nothing to do with that. This is simply
maybe we just move it up one level, Ron.
No, follow me, Ron.
Instead of trying to identify how many people are going to be on whatever committee or group, and we just identify what the issue is, that there is a threshold issue of first, or a decision needs to be made of whether whatever the issue might be, is it a policy issue or is it an administrative issue? If it's a policy issue, it should flow through this part of the process. We can create a flow chart. If it's an administrative issue, it should flow through this part of the process. We can create questions. For example, how many people should be on? You know, we could ask the questions. I'm just thinking we might be offering more than what we really need to be offering to get to where you want to be.
Can I step in for a moment here?
Yeah, please.
I wanted to just make a point with respect to something Ron said. Ron, you had said that the BGC recommendations are recommendations, for the community and ICANN to consider. I should point out, however, that the BGC recommendations that we are dealing with as a work team are actually the recommendations that were adopted, voted on, and approved and adopted by the board. So there is another element there that I think we need to consider. I'm not suggesting at all that we should not be, going down the path that we are, and I don't mean to take away from this discussion at all. I just wanted to make that point.
Well, let's agree on agree to this today.
Could that make two cues, right?
Oh, is that Tony?
Yes,
please, Tony. I want you to go ahead right now.
Okay. In terms of the sort of functions we've been talking about, I think we all agree that those functions need to be carried off, and the debate really is about how they happen. Some of those functions actually have worked, Ron, in the past, but in a different way. For instance, in the ISPs, We've been pretty fortunate. Our meetings that we've held in conjunction with ICANN meetings have normally been pretty well attended. And the reason for that is that as a constituency, we do outreach to the regional ISP organisations wherever ICANN meets. And over recent times, we've had a lot of support and help from ICANN staff to make sure we bring those people in. So that outreach is happening. It needs to happen in a different way now, and I think this is where you're heading, because if you move to working groups, you certainly need more outreach, and you need to try and broaden those functions. So we're all, I think, geared up to say that these tasks need to happen. The only difference of opinion needs to be addressed is how they happen and whether you do it through another body that's on the same sort of level as council. And that's where I have some concerns. But for a way forward, I think if we could actually add to this document, I think there needs to be some maybe wordsmithing of the document to make it clear the areas that certainly Wolf, Ulrich and I had questions on. Other people may have questions, so perhaps we can make a few points clearer. We could add to it the chart that was proposed, and then we could add a list of functions for each of the bodies, the three bodies that are going to be shown on the chart. Just list the functions, and then if you wanted to just say one of the ways of dealing with this would be to do it as per this model, use a welcome without saying this group thinks it's the way to go or not the way to go, but I think it's in the words you use, just fly a kite, then we could probably go ahead on that basis, and maybe we can agree a paper at the next meeting that we can float into constituencies and seek that feedback. That way, we're going to get a good idea of whether this is a go or whether it isn't, and probably that's what we need at this stage.
Julie, did you catch all that? Because I couldn't have articulated that any better.
Yeah, I did catch all of that, and
I thought it was good, and I know the downside. Probably Ron's thinking to himself, he's going, "Oh great, another 2 weeks." You know.
No.
I think it's okay.
I don't have a problem with that. My issue is only let's get some forward motion here, and let's not try to refine it so tight. You know that we're. I mean, let's leave room for people to bring their ideas.
I agree, and I think Tony, the way Tony just said it, was perfect. And I think he just captured what you just said, Ron. I think he did anyway.
Well, I'm in agreement.
Oh, that's wonderful. I think so. Next action steps, if we can capture kind of what Tony just suggested, and of course Wolf's suggestion of including the flow chart, if you will, into the document as sort of a visual description. And here's what I would do, and I'll ask if you guys agree, is when we get there within the next week, because I know Julie, you know, doesn't sit around doing nothing all day. If we get there with some kind of next document, I want to go ahead and send it on over to the OSC and have them look at it too. Is that fair enough?
Right. Is that before it goes to constituencies or at the same time?
Yes, before.
But Ray, we're not going that again. All that does is add another layer where people feel compelled to have to comment because there's something before them.
I'm saying, okay.
If they're a member of the constituency like anyone else, we're saying to the constituency is, guys, do you like this? Don't you like it? Don't like it? Good, fine, thanks. We're going to go the other direction. We're going to go the direction you like.
Okay, good point.
Because why take it to the OSC? Why waste their time?
All right. Reasonable point.
Get it to the chair, courtesy. You know,
that's what I was referring to.
All those things.
I think that's what I was thinking, Ron, as a courtesy.
Absolutely.
Get over the chair. FYI, here's what we're going to be sending out to the constituency.
And explaining exactly that. And to the community, we just want to say, this is to get your input. We want to find out if we're going the right direction for you guys, because we believe that these things have some merit in terms of splitting these offices. Do you think so, too?
Okay, procedurally, then. Julie, is it reasonable that we could probably have a next iteration of this? I know, Ron, you'll be working with Ron probably in the next week.
From Ron's side, I'll have the org chart done in an hour after we get off this call.
Okay, so reasonable to say, we might have lost Julie, reasonable to say that probably in a week we'll have a next iteration capturing Tony's comments and plus adding in the chart, et cetera. We, you know, and at that point, we might be able to just do this on list and say, yeah, let's move forward with this as our kite. And I think that's a great description of what this is.
I'm sorry, Ray. I thought I was going off of mute, and I went on to mute. I was going to say that I'm happy to start work right away on a revised document. Ron, did I hear you say that you were happy to take a first stab at a chart, at an org chart?
Yes, exactly. And as I said, I'll have it done within the hour. My time, just for FYI, Chair, I'm going to be out from the 1st of May to the 10th of May. So if we could get a meeting next Thursday on the 29th, that would be ideal from my point of view if you wanted to just sort of have a look at the final version of this.
I'm not against the idea. Is next Thursday the 29th?
Yes.
Next Thursday is the 30th.
That's what I thought.
Oh, I beg your pardon. That's right, 30th. 29th to 30th doesn't matter, either day is fine. But
okay,
my point was, if we get a call next week, 30th is out.
30th?
Yeah, 30th is out for me.
29th?
I could do the 29th, but it would have to be no earlier than 1600 UTC, which would be noon Eastern time.
1600 UTC is okay.
Okay, let's... Now, in this case, because we are doing the schedule, I'm going to take Julie's suggestion this time around. Let's do a doodle. Is that okay, Glenn?
It's okay, but it would be much better if we could somehow find permanent times for these
meetings. I know.
You know, Ray, this is Julie. I might suggest, because we have had the meetings on Wednesdays, at 1300... I know what was sort of now you're talking about 1600, but I'm wondering if we could just go ahead and set this, I could send out action items today, suggest this time, and ask people if anybody has a conflict. The problem with the doodle is it can take a good deal of time. And
I know. That's why I didn't want to do it last
meeting
time.
In just a week,
yeah.
We might not have responses to the doodle until, a day before.
And there are other doodles out too, and it becomes extremely confusing for people.
I agree. That's why I didn't want to do it last time, everything you guys are saying.
Let's go 1600 UTC.
Okay.
1600 UTC on which day? Wednesday or Thursday?
Wednesday the 29th, because you can't do it Thursday. Is that right, Ray?
I cannot do it Thursday. So, yeah. So the 1600 on Wednesday should work for me.
Sorry, everyone. This is Yoav here.
Oh,
silent.
Yeah,
I was there almost the entire conco. I'm. First of all, I want to apologize. Last week I had a vacation with my family that was not planned before, so I lost the call. And actually, I had a very busy week, and there's so many iterations of the emails. I wasn't able to read everything yet, so I didn't get into the conco and just start to my opinion. I think I was listening. I think what you decided there till now is okay. And just wanted to say that Wednesday for me also works fine. I prefer Wednesday in general on Thursdays. So
1600 UTC,
yeah,
okay for
1600
you?
Yeah, 1600 is okay for me, no problem. Yeah,
right.
I know. I think I'm the latest, so it's okay, and there's no problem.
Okay, I can do any Wednesday as long as it's no earlier than 1600 UTC because
it's no problem.
Every other Wednesday, there's the registry constituency one that happens to fall before the 1600 time. So. And it's causing a problem for Ken Stubbs as well. So,
yeah.
That sounds good. Are we all in agreement? Let's do 1600 UTC on April 29th.
Right, and I'll go ahead and send action items out shortly and include that, and if anybody has a problem, they can let us know, but let's try to go with that. I'm getting back to this action item, if I could just clarify. So, Ron, if you could do the org chart, then I can turn around and incorporate that into a new document along with bulleted lists and then send it out to everyone?
You'll have it within the hour, Julie.
Okay, great. Then I can get it out today.
Excellent.
All right. That's a fair approach. Let's try and make some headway on list as well. If we have comments that can work on email, then let's do that. I want to move on to something else, and we're starting to run short of time, and I think what's going to be the sacrificial lamb today is the SOI-DOI documents.
Actually, Ray, I could maybe just make one comment about very quickly, and that is it's probably best if we can delay it till next week, because my understanding is that the Board Governance Committee, which is now tasked with coming up with a revised conflicts of interest policy, may be making some progress in that area and may be coming out with something shortly. And so if that is going to be out, say, in the next week or so, then that's something that we could would be available for us to look at, because otherwise what we would be looking at is the 1999 document on conflicts of interest, which is, as you might guess, somewhat out of date. So I just wanted to mention that, and then we could schedule this for next week if that's okay with you.
Very nice. I second that one. Does everybody agree?
Okay. Agreed.
No.
Okay, so guys, we have another one here that has to do with our charter. I've had a request come from the OSC. Apparently, they would like to see us approve our charter as it is written now. It's called a draft charter, so I didn't really see what the need to approve it. But apparently, there's a thinking that they would like to see us as a work team say, "Yep, we like this draft charter."
All right, I'll get in the queue on that one, Chair.
Yeah, in fact, I don't think I really need to say much more. But I'll tell you what I will say is something Ron, you said earlier was, you know, we don't necessarily have to follow everything that the BGC told us what to do. And then, of course, we had Julie's comment on that, which I agreed with her, too. But that drives to this document. If there's something in here that we think has been identified for our work team that we don't think should be in there, or things that should be in there that aren't in there, this would be the time to say. And we don't have to necessarily, I'm not saying that we have to decide today that we can go back to the OSC and say, yes, we approve our charter. But I'm saying that the OSC has asked us to get to that point, whether it's today or next week. We have to make it a little bit higher priority item, I guess. So, with that, Ron, please go ahead.
Point of clarification, I wasn't saying that we didn't have to follow their instructions.
Oh, I'm putting words in your mouth again? Sorry.
Yeah, no, I just mean to say that, you know, it's not that this is the almighty power above us and we have to march in lockstep to everything they say. What I'm saying is they've given an instruction for us to go out and explore these things.
Right.
And so that's really what we're doing. So it may not, you know, I guess that's self-explanatory.
Right.
Looking at the team charter goals, I'm wondering if we can just get some points of clarification, and I'm looking to staff for this. The first point, determine what steps are needed to establish a role of council strategic manager of the process. That's what we've been debating all morning. The second point, define and develop scope of responsibilities of any other standing committees, as recommended, the committee to analyze trends, committee to benchmark policy implementation. So that's our, again, what we just debated this morning in some ways. It's to deal with our administrative group.
I agree. It's the beauty
okay.
of your document.
The third point, Julie has given us a heads up that we're going to get some fresh text on that. This is the statement of interest and declaration of interest, so that's fine. The fourth one, develop curriculum for training council members, constituents, facilitators, and others. I understood that Michelle was working on something along those lines. Liz Gaskin was looking, and so this is my question to staff. This curriculum for training, wasn't there a toolkit or something along those lines being developed by staff?
Actually, if you'd like, I can speak to that, Ron.
Please.
There has been information collected from the community concerning what a curriculum might look like, and part of that was this constituency survey that went out last fall that several community members participated in. But the work of developing the curriculum has not happened. It does fall under this group. However, I think you're leading us to a good point, in that as we look at these goals, some of them may be led and initiated, you know, by the work team members. However, you know, the chair and the team members may decide that something like this item could, the initiative for this item could be taken by ICANN staff, you know, at your direction, of course. Because I think, as you are noting, this is more of an administrative type of task, and you know, and there is some information out there that staff might be, you know, better able to pull together to get this one going.
Right on cue, Julie. Right on cue.
Yeah, let me make
exactly where I was coming from.
So if I'm understanding that correctly, we're the threshold thing first is okay. Should this be in our charter? Do we approve this in our draft charter? Mm-hmm. First of all, and then secondly becomes how does it get executed or performed or devised or whatever word that's in the second question. So I think on a top level, are we okay that this particular line item is in our charter?
For my part, as Ron, yes, under the along the terms of what Julie's just described, because I think that there's work, there has been some work done, the staff is intimately involved in it, and we would expect the staff would come back. So our, as part of our charter, we would say, yes, we approve this as part of our charter, and we see this as being led by this group called staff.
All right. And then the work team would review what staff comes up with and offer our input at that time. Right?
Correct. But from my point of view, yes.
Okay. All right.
Ray, could I ask a question on the charter?
Yes, please, Tony.
It's to do with the next point. Just a comment, maybe from staff. The issue on the charter about looking at new constituencies and the work we would need to do on that. How does that stack up against the current requests that are actually there for ICANN board to consider? Is the intent that they would wait until this work is complete before they make any decisions there? Because they could actually preempt some of the things we need to do.
That's an excellent question. I think what you're asking is there's already a process in motion, and then if we come up with a different process, how does that affect what's already going on?
Well, and I understood that process was quite well underway. In other words, these people that are submitting these drafts to us right now at the various constituencies for our review, they are responding to a document of some sort. So I'm of like mind with Tony, I think, on this one, in that I think that there's already, this document is already out there. I'm not sure what we are doing in this regard. That was my question as well.
Yeah, and I think, I wonder if we could just narrow it down a little more. Instead of prepare clear rules for the establishment of new constituencies, which I think there already are clear rules for the establishment of new constituencies, but instead, I think what might be lost is, how does anybody know? I mean, other than, is there a place, a location that people can see who is filed to be a new constituency? I'm getting emails, you know, from various sources saying, oh, these guys have filed for a new constituency and these guys have. Maybe we can just hone ours in as here's our recommendation of a centralized way for the announcement of new constituencies. Any thoughts on that?
Well, my question is, I think we need to do that anyway, Ray, but do we need also to review what's currently down there as a set of rules? Is that where this was intended? That there was something put there initially to act as a focal point for those who wanted to get in their applications fairly quickly and felt they had cause to do that. Are we supposed to review those rules and come back?
Well, Tony, this is actually the sixth and last charter review and recommend amendments as appropriate regarding methods of encouraging, promoting, and introducing new constituency while recognizing the differences. Blah blah blah. So 5 and 6, both that's the question. Staff can Julie, can you shed some light on what that document is, that or where that document came from vis-a-vis applicants for new GTL or new constituencies?
I should point out, I think this might be helpful here, is that the board was very anxious to encourage new constituencies. And so at the board direction, the staff moved forward with developing a template for new constituencies to use, you know, a charter template. And that was moved forward, before this work team was established. And then that's what the new constituencies are using. This question actually has come up, and I will send around a link. Pardon me, Ray was asking, where are these things? You know, how do new constituencies know what to do, and should we be looking at that? There is a link off the GNSO improvements page that has all the information as far as new constituencies and charter template and so on. I'll send that to you. But so to answer, you know, Tony's question and yours, Ron. Yes, there's a process. I think that this group is tasked with looking at this process for establishing new constituencies and making recommendations. It may be that this group looks at what this charter template is and the process and says, looks fine, you know, our recommendation is no change. Would changes to the charter template then, you know, involve changes to constituencies and so on? I don't think that that's what WordCast is doing. There is another work team, the constituency operations team, that is actually looking at rural participating in constituencies and stakeholder groups. The question went out from that group, should we be doing this if these new constituencies and stakeholder groups already have their charters out there? If we make recommendations, do they have to change their charters? Chuck Gomes has said his understanding is, yes, if recommendations come out of a work team that changes what's already out there, then these groups may have to make changes accordingly. You know, that is assuming that the council and the board approve what this, you know, what the work teams do. So, in short, I think that that this group needs to take a look at what are the current rules and procedures, decide if we want to change them, you know, and also is that sufficient for meeting the recommendation of encouraging and promoting and introducing new constituencies, or should there be other, you know, processes in place?
Well, Chair, I would suggest that the fact that there's already this template out there, I would suggest we follow Julie's suggestion that let's have a good long look at that. There's a document there. Why start with a clean piece of paper? There's people already responding to a document. Why don't we review that document? And if everyone in the team is agreeing with that, then I guess we're also agreeing that points 5 and 6 fall under our responsibility.
Yeah, I'm okay with that. I might wordsmith a little bit the fifth one, instead of prepares, if we're starting from scratch. Maybe it's both 5 and 6 are the words review instead of prepare. So
that,
maybe
I agree with Ron's approach. I think that would be a good way to go.
Okay.
I can make that change in the charter if we all agree to it.
Yeah.
Yeah, also.
By the way, procedural question. Do we have a quorum? I mean, do we need a quorum to be voting on things?
I don't think we're really voting. We're just all agreeing or disagreeing. And I think
we're reaching a consensus.
Yeah, we're reaching a consensus. And do we have enough people to say, I'm talking about that are supposedly on our work team, that are on our work team. Do we have enough to say, okay, yeah, let's say we wanted to decide today on this call, and this is my procedural question. We accept the charter, the draft charter, as it is.
Ray, can I?
Can you speak to that?
Yeah, just briefly, because this has already come up in another one of my work teams.
I'm sure.
First of all, in the work team, you know, the charter, the work team rules, there isn't a requirement for a quorum, for how to vote, that sort of thing. It is sort of a consensus type of procedure. However, in another of my work teams, the constituency group, what we did was in the meeting, the recommendation was made to approve the charter, and this was sent out, you know, with a link to to the full work team with the request that everyone should approve or disapprove by, you know, a certain time. So, you know, for us it could be, you know, say next Monday, you know, end of close of business next Monday, for instance. And, you know, and if there were no, you know, significant dissenting opinions, then the charter would be deemed to be approved, you know, at that point.
Okay, so I think that's a good approach. And, of course, I'm drifting down to 3, work team rules of our own charter that says decision-making, how to go about that. And that all sounds consistent, so that's good. I would suggest that, as far as this goes, what we're saying today on the phone is we should change, you know, a word or here on 5, that those of us on the call agree. We'll send an email to the list. If whatever changes we make see in here today, or if we don't finish it today, next week, we'll just finish it up on list. You know, we'll agree on the call. If there's some people not able to make the call, whether it's Eric or Robin or whoever, then we'll just say, here's what the people on the call reached a consensus on. If anybody has any opposition, please respond by email. Otherwise, we'll consider your not replying as in agreement. Is that a fair approach, everybody?
Agreed.
Okay.
Ray, I can go ahead and make that one change. I think it was to change prepare clear rules to review clear rules.
Mm-hmm.
And if that's the only change, perhaps then I could send it around and ask, you know, for comment from people. And would you like me to pick a date for when people need to approve, or just?
Well, we've got another about 13 minutes here. Then I'm going to cut the call off, I think. We've done enough for the day. Let's go on through the charter.
Just one point. It's not really review clear rules. We review rules.
Okay.
Let's move. Is there anybody in the queue that want to have any other comments on the charter? We've finished section one, which is team charter goals, and it seems like we have rough consensus on that so far. Team membership, anybody have any comments on that?
Well, I think that we have a few questions around that, Ray.
Okay.
And Ron remarked earlier, we need to engage more people within this group.
Yes, right. So, but that I don't think that changes our charter.
No. Hopefully we can meet everything that's down here. The issue of the liaison back to council, I assume that is with today's council we're talking about now. If it is, then I qualify as one of those. But there's no one else on the call currently that does enable us to get to two councillors.
Well, and also, if I were to say add to that, I think you're the only counselor.
You know, at the moment, that's
so it's just
true.
To be a minimum of one counselor, or two, and preferably two, the service liaisons between the team and the council. I'm not sure if that meant that we're supposed to. I should be doing outreach to one of my counselors to be the liaison, but I'm the liaison back to my constituency, the BC in this case. And then with my liaising with the BC, my officers then. My counselors take it to council if necessary. But at this stage of the game, I don't know what the GNSO council is really doing with regard to what we're doing, other than just observing.
No, that's right. And I just wonder, is this a standard item that's in all of the charters, or is it something that is amendable? I mean, could we put it down to one, or does it have to start?
Well, I'm just wondering if even we need which points number one and two in this regard.
Julie, do you have a...
This was all the work teams were given a sort of a standard initial template of a charter that was developed by the steering committees. And so this is sort of boilerplate language that you as a work team can alter. So as long as you agree to it. So however you see fit.
Well, I have a suggestion. I think number one here should be changed to be a minimum of one GNSO counselor, and then get rid of and preferably two. And then on number two, I would suggest that the number of counselors be limited to two to maintain no more than two to maintain separation. Does that make sense?
Would that just be applicable to do it for our group and not others?
Right.
It may cause problems in others. I don't think it's going to cause a problem here. If it does, I suppose we could always...
only your group, any change
right.
to your charter.
Well, we don't have to change number two.
Well, my view, Ray, is that number one and number two aren't really necessary in this, in terms of our membership. What we do need is number three, one representative from each constituency. We need each advisory committee and SO to be given the opportunity, number four. Number five, there to be members from who are not associated. That's fine. We have, if I'm not mistaken, UP Teamster is an example of that. Number six, participation by team members and other teams should be minimalized. I'm on the OSC, and I think Tony might be on one or two, but that's it. And in the interim chair of the team should be someone from the steering committee.
You shouldn't remove one, Ron, because I think you need someone to be the liaison back. I know on council calls there's normally a call if anyone wants to say anything.
Oh, I'm sorry. That's fine, Tony. It's not one from every kind. I misread that. So it's just one counselor to report back, and you or whoever. That's fine. Absolutely. One, I'm fine with that. Beg your pardon. But two, number of counselors be limited to at most to three to maintain separation from the team's work and the council's oversight role. How many counselors do we have on our team?
One.
Right.
Wolf Ulrich is not, and neither. And what about?
We just have one.
Okay, very good. Well, that's fine. Then
we're not really in, we don't have a problem with two.
Okay, then that's fine. Then
and number seven, keep in mind, doesn't really matter anymore because we're past the initial interim chair stage.
Yeah.
So that could go as well.
Yeah, I mean, we can take it out. I mean, it's...
Or it could stay. I mean, it doesn't...
Or it can stay. I mean, it
no
was
harm.
There to make sure that there was, you know, that sort of liaison with the steering committee.
That's fine. And it was a chart. It's a charter document, so that's fine. It can stay.
Well, actually, I really don't see any need for us to change anything in number two. I mean, there's no urgency to me. It can all stay as is, and we can say, yeah, we accepted that charter, that draft charter. And I think we would still have the opportunity to change our charter later. We're just accepting, from what I understand, the draft charter.
Right, even if the charter is approved, just to clarify, the steering committee has said that, you know, once it's approved and it's no longer a draft charter, no, that does not mean you cannot make changes. You can make changes. It's just that you will need to, you know, let the steering committee know that these are the changes you'd like to make so they can approve them.
Okay. Okay. I still like to change from up above. I like to do that one, changing the...
What about number one and team membership? You said there should be
I don't know. I don't think we need to change that.
From Ron's point of view, that everything under rubric two, team membership, is fine from my point of view.
That's, I agree with that. Tony?
Yes, I'm okay with that.
All right, let's go on to work team rules. If there's nobody else that has a comment on that. Is it just us three on the call now, by the way? Is it? Oh, Yov? Yov, you there?
So it sounds like just...
I don't know if he's still there.
Okay, let's go on to work team rules. Any comments on this?
But I've read through these, Ryan. I'm fine with them.
I have as well, and I agree.
Nothing had screamed at me when I reviewed them in the past, so I'm willing to go forward with it as well.
Doing good. I guess that's...
Sorry, wait, that was are you there for who?
I'm sorry, who is that?
This is Eric. I heard an "Are you there?" just as I was stepping out of the room for a second.
Oh, thank you, Eric. You are breaking up on, at least on me.
Yeah. I'll go back to mute.
Okay. Eric, you're breaking up on the call, so I just want to encourage, if you have any comments on what we're all agreeing to here, feel free to drop them on the list. For calendar timetables, any issues here?
No, we're moving through this.
Okay. Five, staff support.
Has been excellent.
Well, I really don't feel uncomfortable reporting back to the OSC or to whoever that we are, other than the one change from up above that we discussed, that we're comfortable with approving the draft charter.
Agreed from my side.
Yeah.
Okay, and then from a procedural point of view, I think I'll send a note to the email list saying that this is what we came to a rough consensus on the call, and if anybody has any other opinion, to please speak up on list, and then we need to put a deadline to that. Anybody have any suggestions on that? What kind of deadline should we put on that? Should we put next Wednesday? Or
I was going to say one day before the call.
One day, so next Tuesday. Okay. I will do that today. I will send that out today, and I'll name next Tuesday as the deadline. If you speak up or forever hold your peace, and we'll communicate to the steering committee that we our work team has approved this draft charter. Good.
Very good.
Okay. Any other business? I was gonna get into this issue that I think is an important one that Eric raised with regards to, you know, this reaffirmation that the comment I made that the BGC has reaffirmed its position towards ICANN's approach to a constituency model. We really don't have time to get into that today, but I want to keep that on our radar screen because I read what Julie brought back, and when I read it, I'm not so sure. I think reaffirmed, the word I use, might be a little strong, but I do want to hear other people's comments on that. I think it's an important point.
I don't have any comment on that at this stage of the game.
Right. So I think it's appropriate.
My understanding was the same as yours on that, Ray, but I'm not so sure everyone agrees with that.
Right. So let's keep that one on our radar screen, but understand we have other matters here that we're looking at. So with that, I think I'm going to go ahead and ask that we adjourn the call and stop the recording.